Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study. Revelation chapter 13, verse 6. This beast has got a big mouth. It's going to get him in a lot of trouble. If we look at verse 6, the Bible says he opened his mouth. That mouth was given to him. He is not doing anything that God has not already ordained for him to do. Yeah, God ordained it. God is the one who gave the power to the dragon, the devil, the god of this world. The dragon then gives him his power, his seat, and great authority. He has been given, we counted this last week, and this is where we learn how to count things. There's something in this verse that we're going to count. But anyway, these things were given unto him. He was given a mouth, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. We've already dealt with that. To blaspheme his name, that's what we looked at here a few weeks ago, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. So let's count. He's going to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, them that dwell in heaven. And it's something very interesting here that it says he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, and in the process of blaspheming God's name, he blasphemes God. When you blaspheme God's tabernacle, you're blaspheming God. When you're blaspheming them that dwell in heaven, God's people, you're blaspheming God. Jesus taught us. He said, if they're mad at you and want to kill you, it's because they're mad at me. So, you know, if they're going after you, remember, if they hate you, it's because they hate me. And so God takes this thing very seriously. If you are in Christ and if you are God's people, God says, I'll be your God and you will be my people. And whatever happens to you, I'm going to get them for it. Remember what he told Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12. He said, I'll bless them that bless thee and do what? Curse them that curse thee. He's blaspheming the name of God. He's blaspheming his tabernacle. That's what we're going to look at today. And then that dwell in heaven. Let's look at the tabernacle. The words tabernacle, the house of the Lord, the temple, they're all interchangeable. If you're not sure on that, then go to read the first few chapters of Samuel. We know that the temple of Solomon, we know that that temple had not been built yet. And yet we have the tabernacle, which Moses built in heaven. We have Eli as the high priest and Samuel is his young protege that he's, you know, raising up in the house of the Lord. And they refer to it as the temple and the tabernacle both. And so they're interchangeable. But let's look at the tabernacle. Let's look at how God sees his house. That's what the tabernacle is. It's a house. If you just study the word tabernacles all throughout the Bible, you'll find out that it's a house. It's a dwelling place. And so the dwelling place of God is his tabernacle, and this beast blasphemes that tabernacle. And if you have been listening to me over the last few years, when I start talking about the tabernacle of God and the temple of God, you might be going, hey, I wonder if he's going to. Yeah, I am. All right. And if you don't know what that means, just hang on a minute. But let's go to Exodus 29. We're going to find, this is where God gives the instructions to Moses for the tabernacle. We find out here, the tabernacle is holy. It's not to be defiled. You can study the tabernacle, its building, the laws that pertain to the tabernacle. Everything had to be done in a very, even breaking down the tabernacle so they could move, had to be done in order. Let all things, Paul said, be done decently and in order. Let me just throw this in. You find yourself in a church service where they're going, it's pandemonium here. The people are running crazy all over the place. Get out. It's not in order. Now, I'm not one of these that puts the entire service down in the bulletin. We're going to stick to the bulletin, buddy, because that's what we're supposed to do. I don't. If you've watched me enough, you know, sometimes I'll just get up before that we finish the song service or take the offering, whatever. If God's leading me to preach, I preach. But it's in order. It's a very orderly service, and that's what I agree to. Anyway, Exodus 29:42. God has an order. God has a plan. God's tabernacle was always meant to be holy. It's a separate place from the entire rest of the camp. God didn't give instructions on how the Israelites were to fold their tents. Do it however you want to. But when it comes to my tabernacle, this place is holy. Exodus 29:42, this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. The continual burnt offerings throughout your generations. A good picture of that is in Isaiah 66. You know what? Let's go there. See, I'm going away from my notes, but we're doing it in order. Isaiah 66, this continual burnt offering is a picture of Isaiah 66. Where is it? Here we go. Verse 22. And as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Interesting thing here is that in new heavens and the new earth, we do see a continuance of time, or the measuring of time. He said from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another. Very, very interesting. Verse 24, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. I think that verse 24 here, since we are talking about the new heavens and the new earth, I think it says the carcasses of the men. What is that? Remember, there is two resurrections. There is the resurrection of the saints and the resurrection of the damned. Those who are resurrected, their bodies come up out of the sea, out of the grave. They are judged, and then they are cast into the lake of fire, a continual burnt offering. Okay? And verse 24, I think that those who inhabit the new heavens and the new earth will see those who are in the lake of fire as the continual burnt offering before the tabernacle of the Lord. Because what's going to happen in the new heavens and new earth, the tabernacle of God is going to come down. It's going to be with men. God's going to be their God, and we shall be his people. So anyway, just that's a little side issue there. Typology of the law, it's beautiful. Anyway, where God says, this is where I will meet you. Again, in verse 42 of Exodus 29, to speak there unto thee. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. God is the one who cleans it, not us. All right? And I will think of this. You can't put me in enough baptistries and douse me with water to clean the rottenness on the inside of me. Only God can do that. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. See, it's typology. It's a picture of new heaven and new earth. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Beautiful. That would be a beautiful study to do. To just look at all the places where God told Israel, then you shall know that a prophet hath been among you. You shall know that I am the Lord your God. Right now, Israel doesn't know. They think they know, but they don't. God's going to work out situations that are plainly spelled out in the Bible where Israel is going to know who their God is. Okay, right now, they have a false God of the Kabbalah. It's not the real God. So anyway, we find out that the tabernacle of God is holy. It's sanctified by God's presence. So when the beast blasphemes the tabernacle, he condemns it, he curses it. He does something to the tabernacle that blasphemes it. And I think that it's part of the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, that sin of which will not be forgiven. So you just hang on to that, all right? Here is Hosea chapter 9. This kind of gives us a little idea of, and I, as I was studying this, I was kind of struggling with it. And there's still an understanding that I'm not sure that I have attained to yet. But I'm going to throw my best pitch at you today. And then you study it out on your own, and you if you see something, Hoggard, All right, you went way out of the park on that one. If you see something different or whatever, send it to me. I'd love to take a look at it, all right? And I have received some emails from people. I just got one this morning. I'm just going, I never saw that. That's pretty good. And you know how these people come up with it? They didn't read it in a book. They didn't watch it in a YouTube video. They studied the Word of God. And God blessed them and inspired them the way He does me. I love it. Hosea 9:6, for lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis shall bury them. The pleasant places for their silver, nettles shall possess them. Thorns shall be in their tabernacles. Thorns. What are thorns? Thorns are the curse of sin, the messenger of Satan, messengers of Satan, devils. That's what they are. The enemies, God told Israel, shall be thorns in your sides. So you just study thorns in the Bible. It's a neat. I did a Watchman broadcast several years ago called The Crown of Thorns and the Antichrist or something like that. You can look that up. It was the study on thorns in the Bible. Christ took on thorns. This is the tabernacle of God. He took thorns on His head to kill the curse that is against you and I. That's what He did. That's He's making a show of His enemies. And He took that curse from us because we trust Him by faith. He took that curse from us on His own body, even though He had never sinned. And yet here He is with thorns in His tabernacle. Whew. Boy, I love the Bible. But that's just kind of the idea of what I think when you blaspheme the tabernacle of God. You defile it. Manasseh. Remember what he did? I didn't have this in my notes. I just thought about it. Manasseh reared up a standing image in the house of God. That's bad. Okay, King Manasseh. That got God angry. He defiled. He blasphemed the temple. We're going to go several places. Ezekiel 8 is one of the places we'll go to. I better hurry. Ezekiel 20, verse 27. Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, in that they have committed a trespass against me. For when I had brought them into the land, for the which I lifted up my hand to give it to them, then they saw every high hill and all the thick trees, and they offered there their sacrifices, and there they presented the provocation of their offering. There also they made their sweet savor, poured out their drink offerings. Then I said unto them, what is the high place whereunto you go? And the name thereof is called Bama, that is unto this day. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, are ye polluted after the manners of your fathers? They polluted the tabernacle. And commit ye whoredom after their abominations. For when you offer gifts, when you make your sons to pass through the fire, ye we did, Pastor Mike online here a couple weeks ago, and I showed the anti-Bethel church out in Redding, California, Bill Johnson, and these people line up on both sides, and they're making what they call the fire tunnel. And they're making people pass through the fire tunnel. Is there no discernment? And they're saying, oh, this is the Holy Ghost, and people are gyrating, and they've got all these bodily functions that they lose control of and everything like that. They're under a drunken spirit, and they're making people pass through the fire tunnel. Whew, man. Anyway, you make your sons to pass through the fire. You pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired of by you? In other words, you come and ask me for things, and you pray to me, and should I even listen to you after what you're doing? O house of Israel, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of you. Think about what God's house is. House of prayer. I will not be inquired of by you, and that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all that you say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone. So they polluted, they blasphemed the tabernacle, and blasphemed God by polluting the sacred place that they were supposed to worship God in. They did it with wood and stone. You know what that is? That's idols. They took a tree, Jeremiah 10, they cut it down. They carved out a standing image of a god. They overlay it with gold is what they did, and then they worshiped that. Gold is a stone, by the way. They dig it up out of the ground. It's a stone. But anyway, that's what they did. They polluted the tabernacle and polluted the dwelling place of God by these idols and by making their children pass through the fire tunnel. That's blasphemy. You know what that is? You know what that's called? Let's see here. Where is Fat Albert Pike? Right here. You know what that's called? It's called the death and the rebirth of the phoenix. Dun, dun, dun. This church world we live in right now is crazy. It's mad with drunkenness. 2 Chronicles 36:11. Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Jeremiah, the prophets always equaled the Bible. That was the Bible that they had then. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. He's referring to the temple that Solomon built, and God came in that temple, and it was an absolute amazing place, and all the people were just going, because of the glory of the Lord, there's clouds just coming out of the temple that Solomon built. They went and polluted the house of the Lord. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes, which means early, and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. God would send prophets to them. God would send preachers to them that would preach to them and try to bring them back, because he had compassion. He loved his people. He long-suffered with them. You should think about how much God long-suffers with you, and how patient he is with you, how he puts up with your nonsense. You should consider that. Verse 16, because he had compassion on his people. No, this is verse 15. He had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. That was his temporary dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God. They didn't like the preachers. You KJB people, you're all cultists. And despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. He had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. They mocked him. They polluted the house of God. It's blasphemy. Blasphemy to put an idol in the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant is. Absolute blasphemy. Ezekiel 7:22. My face will I turn also from them, and they shall pollute my secret place. For the robbers shall enter into it and defile it. Think of who is a thief and a robber. Think about it. The devil is. He's a thief and a robber. Thief cometh not but to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I come to give you life. But anyway, he said, I'm going to turn my face from them. They're not going to see God's face anymore. They won't be able to find grace in the eyes of the Lord because his face is turned against them. They're going to pollute God's secret place. That's called the most holy place in the King James. That's not the Holy of Holies. I don't know where that came from. The most holy place is what you'll find in the King James. They shall pollute my secret place. The robbers are going to go in and defile it. Blasphemy against the tabernacle of God. Daniel 11:31. The beast, the Antichrist, verse 31, an arm shall stand on his part. Now I'm going to stop right here. Anybody who says, oh, I've got Daniel figured out, they're either lying or they're way smarter than I am. I just look at some of the sentences, Daniel 7-12. Things like, and arms shall stand on his part. I have no idea what that means. I don't have the first clue what that means. We will know one of these days. Right now, I don't get it. I think it has something to do with the fact that Daniel sealed, Revelation is not. And if you were being honest, studying just the language structure of the book of Daniel is one of the most difficult things in your Bible study that you can ever do. It is, some places are nearly incomprehensible. God, I think, has a reason for it. We'll see that reason by and by. But anyway, they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength. That I get. And shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Study things that are an abomination unto the Lord. Sowing discord among brethren is one of them. There's seven abominations that are mentioned in the book of Proverbs. Think about the idea of sowing discord. You're talking about seeds. Remember the parable that Jesus taught about the husband went out and he planted a field, and while he slept, his enemies came in and sowed tares among the wheat. That was sowing discord among brethren. And so think about mingling strange seed. Okay? That's an abomination. They're going to place an abomination that maketh desolate. There's something, let's see if I can remember this, where it is. Let's see here, can I do it? I'm in Ezekiel, you can turn there to, verse chapter 14, I thought it was there. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up idols in their heart. A couple of things about that. Number one, they set them in their heart so that other people don't see them. That's where they can hide what they really worship on the inside of their heart. Okay? And believe me, there's more people than you can possibly imagine. Maybe even people that you think are Christians that have a false god hidden inside their heart. That's who they really worship. On the outside, they talk the talk and they make it sound like they're just like you. But they're not. They have an idol. They've carved out an image of God or Christ that does not follow what the Bible says. That's who they worship. The second thing is, remember, the heart is part of the overall tabernacle, the picture of the temple, the house of God. You have the heart with the four chambers. That is the four living creatures and the four gospels. That's where God sits on his throne. John said, I saw one sitting on the throne. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. But then you have the crystal sea around the throne of God. That's the pericardium. You have the seven candlesticks, which are the seven spirits of God. That's the two lungs with seven vascular bundles that take the spirit, the breath, and send it out to the body and then remove the waste, and so it's expelled. Then you have the 24 elders surrounding the throne. You have 24 ribs that surround. You have thunderings and lightnings and voices. Your heart sounds like thunder. It operates on electricity, lightning, and your voice box is right here. It's all the tabernacle. You are the, so when they put an idol in their heart, they defiled and polluted God's secret place. They blasphemed his tabernacle. They blasphemed the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I think that is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. I think that's what it is. Again, we'll understand it better by and by. But that's what the Antichrist is going to do. Or it says, they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. We're going to keep moving. So I'm tie some things together. Zephaniah 3:4. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. There it is again. They're polluting the sanctuary. They're putting something in there that does not belong in there, something that's unclean. Let me just bring this up. I've heard a lot of people talk about, don't you know that, after the Old Testament was written, a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes went into and poured pig's blood all over the temple in the most holy place. Don't you know that? And I always say, no, I don't. Well, you need to study that out. And I go, where is that? Well, it's not in the Bible. It's, so here's the thing. I don't know that some guy named Antiochus Epiphanes went in and poured pig's blood all over the tabernacle or the temple. I don't know that. You say, well, that's you know, that's part of history. Is it? Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. But I don't base what my understanding of Scripture or fulfilled prophecy upon something that may or may not have happened. I don't know that it happened. I can't prove that it happened. And so I'm looking at a fulfillment of the book of Daniel that is not somewhere in the past, but in the future. That's what I think. And I think if you will just apply that principle that you're going to stay within the boundaries of the Scriptures and let God interpret the Bible instead of somebody's version of history interpreting the Bible. I was reading Tim LaHaye's commentary on the book of Revelation. It was years ago. But I decided, I just was reading something. He's talking about the seven thunders in Revelation 10. And he said, now the seven thunders are the seven stages of that the Roman Empire went through historically. And I'm going, where in the world did that come from? The Holy Ghost is just kind of, this is early on, years ago. The Holy Ghost is going, Mike, where is that in the Bible? Where is that? What verse is that? What passage? Where does he get that from? And who does he base it on? How did obviously some historian somewhere said, there appears to be seven stages that the Roman Empire went in. Why not eight? Why not three? Why not the rise and the fall? Why not two? Who said that the Roman Empire went in seven stages, and what difference does it make to Revelation chapter 10 and the seven thunders? Big whoop. So anyway, stay here, all right? Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name? And you say, wherein if we despise thy name? Ye offer polluted bread. Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein? And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Here's the table of the Lord right here. This right here is supposed to be the bread of heaven. James White and scores of others will tell you there's mistakes in the King, grievous mistakes in the King James Bible. It is full of errors. It has very bad doctrine in it. They're saying that the bread of God is contemptible and the table of God is contemptible. They hate it. They hate this book. They offer polluted bread, false versions of the Bible, where they've changed, taken out, put in whatever they wanted to. That's polluted bread. In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible, and you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now to thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? He's saying, if you were to take the same stuff that you bring to the tabernacle, if you were to take that to your governor, he would throw you out. How dare you? The governor would say, how dare you bring me nasty, old, corrupted, sick lamb? How dare you do that? And he said, God was saying, I'm God, and you think nothing of offering polluted bread and bringing in your sick and your lame sacrifices. You're polluting the house of God, and I'm your God, and I'm not going to put up with it. Ezekiel 8:16. Study Ezekiel 8. For time's sake, we won't go through the whole thing. But Ezekiel chapter 8 is all about God taking Ezekiel into the temple. And every place that he shows Ezekiel, he sees something greater in abominations. God said, I'm going to show you greater abominations than what you just saw. Now take a look here. Ezekiel would see something. He would see women weeping for Tammuz. And God would say, see that? This is what they're doing. Now I'm going to take you deeper. The deeper that he got into the tabernacle, the temple, the greater the abomination was. Something to think about. We know the denominations are turning bad very quickly. We may not have seen it coming the way we should have. Those of us who have been in a denomination or some sort of movement, we wanted to think that at some point all the preachers and all the guys in the denomination or movement would open up their eyes and read the Bible and say, you know what, guys, we're doing the wrong thing. That's not happening. As new, some of these younger guys come in and take over, they start being very corrupt. The Bible talks about spiritual wickedness in high places. And I think, number one, there are spirits that are very, very high in the angelic realm, and they're very, very wicked. Number two, I think the higher up you go in a denomination or anything like that, the more wicked it becomes. Okay? I can't prove that. I don't have all, you know, surveillance tapes of all these people. But that's what I think. I think the higher you go, and that's what Ezekiel was seeing in the temple. So we pick it up in verse 16. He brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord. Even we today, if we turn our back on something, that's an insult to whatever we turned our back on. We're going, we don't want anything. I'm turning my back on you. We don't want anything to do with you. I'm leaving you behind. And lots of other expletives that people say concerning the back. Anyway, their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east. Why? And they worship the sun toward the east. And they're doing it right in God's house. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet I will not hear them. You know what God's saying? I'm shutting the door on you people. No more salvation. I'm done. You pray all you want to. I'm done hearing prayers. Whew. I would never want to get that way. Never do. They were polluting the tabernacle of God. They were blaspheming the house of God. And God said, I'm not going to listen to him anymore. Conscience seared with a hot iron. God has turned them over to a reprobate mind to do things which are unseemly. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Obviously, they believed a lie. They believed that their God was the rising sun. And they worshiped toward the east with their backs to the house of God. Daniel chapter 5, verse 2. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the kings and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. He's taking the vessels that were dedicated to the Lord in the house of the Lord, brought them into his house. He's going to pour his wine in there and get drunk out of them. Man, that's wicked. That is churches that have a drunken spirit, and they're using the name of the Lord. They're using the Holy Ghost of God. They're using all of the vessels of God, but they're using it to get themselves and make others drunk. That's what they're doing. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, wives, concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, iron. You know what? Gods of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six things here. Think about it. Six things here that they praise. They praise the gods of gold, of silver, of brass, and iron, wood, and stone. Dun, dun, dun. Never see, there's, you get wisdom by counting these things. It's the first time I ever counted it. But anyway, they're praising gods of gold. The anti-Bethel church out in Redding, California again having gold dust fly down from the ceiling. And they're saying, that's angel manifestations. That's God. Anyway. In the same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. The king saw the part of the hand that wrote, and the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. He was so shaken by it, he couldn't even stand up. He was knocking his knees together. He was so scared of what he saw. Whew, man. He defiled the temple. I'm going to get rid of this thing. It's bothering me. He defiled the temple of God. He blasphemed the house of God by using the vessels to get drunk with. Think of who the vessels are in the tabernacle of God. It's supposed to be God's people. We're earthen vessels. Now watch this. Jesus dealt with it. Matthew 21:12. And Jesus went out into the temple of God and cast all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it is written, my house should be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it what? A den of thieves. Who's a thief? The devil is. He's a thief and a robber. Remember, the robbers went into the secret place and defiled it. They polluted the house of God because they were selling salvation. That's what they were doing. They were selling atonement. They were in there, money changers. They bought and sold. They sold doves and things like that. They were selling these things because people had to go to Jerusalem by the law, and they had to offer some sort of offering for a sacrifice. People couldn't carry all of these animals from the far places that they were. This is just kind of what I've heard. I'm not sure if it's 100% true, but it just kind of makes sense. And you had guys in there that would take their money, and they had these exorbitant prices, but they were selling salvation. That's what they were doing. They were getting rich off of it. Jesus said, you made this house into a den of thieves. You polluted it. Let me ask you a question. What happened to that temple? It was destroyed. God wasn't going to live and dwell in a polluted temple. They had already ruined it for him. Now, 1 Corinthians 3, think about it. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I think blaspheming, and I've got some other verses here, I think blaspheming the house of God, or blaspheming the tabernacle of God, has a lot to do with defiling the temple of God, which is the body. 1 Corinthians 6:18, he says it again. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now listen to this. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? And so you're defiling the temple of God where the Holy Ghost dwells. You're blaspheming it. Wow. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What fellowship hath yin with yang? That's what he's talking about. What fellowship hath the sons of God with the daughters of men? The fourth kingdom mingling themselves with the seed of men. What fellowship does that have? What communion hath light with darkness? The Masonic checkerboard floor is light and darkness in the same temple. And what concord, what agreement, what contract hath Christ with Belial? The devil, Belial, tried to get him into a contract. Tried to get him, worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? You know, infidel means unfaithful. They don't believe the Bible. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And so, and I'm just giving this to you as just something for you to pray about. This be between you and God. Some of you are attending church. You say, we need a church to go to. And I'm not going to try to talk you out of it. But at some point, and I always tell people this when they call and say, Pastor, should I quit going to my church? They're doing this, blah, blah, blah. Or they'll send emails. And here's what I tell them. Number one, I can't tell them that. Only God can tell them that. Number two, ask God. God, if you want me to stay here, confirm it to me. Show me in the Word. But God, if you want me to take my family out of this place, because I don't know, I feel a spirit here that's not right. God, if you want to take my people, my family out of this church, because you said that we cannot have part with an infidel, then God, something's going to be preached, something's going to be said, some sort of practice is going to take place, and the Holy Ghost is going to say, now it's time. And so if that's you today, take that to God. Let that be your fleece that you lay out before the Lord. Again, I can't tell you what to do. I do know that there's a lot of guys out there that don't believe the Bible anymore. I will also tell you that there are men in churches who believe every word of God is pure that may or may not agree with things that I say. Don't use me as the standard. Don't use me as, well, he don't preach like Mike, or he's not like Mike Hargan. You ought to thank God that your pastor's not like me. You ought to thank God for that. And I'm just saying that we are told that if we believe, we're not to have part with someone who is an infidel. And so that is, it's your conscience. It is the Holy Spirit that will guide you. But anyway, let me move through this. We're almost done. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? None. The man of sin is an image. Revelation, we're going to get into that as we move through Revelation 13. The false prophet has everybody build an image. Okay? And I think, well, let me get to that verse here in a little bit. What agreement hath the temple of God with the idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Ye are. This body is. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. Them is unrighteousness, darkness, Belial, and infidels. 1, 2, 3. Did I count all of them? 4? No, 5. What agreement have temple of God with idols? Come out from all 5 of them. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. 5. Let me count this again, make sure I'm right. We have righteousness with unrighteousness, light with darkness, Christ with Belial, believeth with an infidel, temple of God with idols. 5. Think of, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. And he said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Jesus said in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm trying to remember where he says, I will receive you unto myself. Okay, I think it's in John 14. You go look at that. But God's, Christ's reception of us would be based upon these 5 things. We don't fellowship with unrighteousness. We don't commune with darkness. We don't get in a contract with Belial. We don't have a part with an infidel. And we don't agree nor bow down to idols, and we don't put them in our heart. We don't do that. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2:4, I think this is it right here. I think this is the blasphemy of the tabernacle. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, notice the capital G, or that is worship, so that he is God, capital G, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. All capital G's. He sits in the temple of God. And it says in verse 3, the man of sin, the son of perdition. Sin is always equaled with this number 3, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Notice that the man of sin, back in Revelation 13:6, this is why we counted it, he's blasphemy against God, his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. Three of them. He blasphemes three things because he is the man of sin. And it would probably have, if some of you think, well, I was kind of thinking the Godhead, I think you're right. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And we will be Christ's body. And so when they blaspheme God, they're blaspheming the body of Christ and so on. But they're blaspheming the tabernacle of God, which is us. And so I absolutely think there's something along with the Godhead and him being the man of sin as well. So he blasphemes his tabernacle. I think the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, since the Holy Ghost dwells in the temple of God, which is our body, then I think that blasphemy is the idol or the image of the beast, just like in Ezekiel 14, sitting in the heart of man. Right now, my God, my Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, Father himself, sits right here in my heart, in the throne of my heart, leading me, guiding me, giving mercy to me, chastening me, inspiring me to preach, leading me in what direction to go in as far as teaching and giving light to my understanding of the Scriptures. There's going to be a time when people are going to be so, they're going to be filled with the devil himself, the image of the Antichrist. And because of that blasphemy against the temple of God, it's going to be polluted. Hey, let's change man's DNA. Let's rewrite the book that's in the tabernacle. I think that's coming. I think that's all part of this, all right? Anyway, hey, God bless you. Good study today. Good to be with you. Even as I do these Bible studies, a lot of times I'll catch on to things I've never really seen before. So I promise you, me doing these studies with you is as beneficial for me as I hope it is for you, because I need it. I need the study. I need to sit down and just go through the Scriptures. And I love doing it, and I love that you're a part of it. You pray for us, and always just keep us in your prayers, okay? God bless you. We love you, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.